Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I hope that you're all enjoying these last few weeks of summer. I want to welcome you all back to Life Design with Linda Sachs. Today, I decided to continue on with my Walking on Fire series and take it to the next and to the most deepest and vulnerable level. One second. I hope that in doing this, I will inspire my listeners to start welcoming in the releasing of doing the same. Lately, that old and wise expression, you know, the one that says the truth shall set you free, has not only been nagging at me, but really haunting me. So I want to thank you for both listening in and indulging me with my family story today, my old family story. As hard as I've tried and believed my whole life, I realized just this past summer, yes, just after attending the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within, that I was still holding on to my dreamy family past, one that never really ever existed. I knew that it was finally time for me to release not just my family story, but my sadness and my feelings of loss relating to my story. So this, I recently started, you know, I've started feeling like, you know, this is really kind of like a death to me, and I realized that there's a grieving process that really is needed, and that there was time for me to really face the reality and know and accept that there really was nothing I could do to change this, but I really needed to learn to live with the emptiness of it and move on. So bear with me today, because there's taking a certain amount of courage, and I know there's a method to my madness, and I'll talk about that at the end of my show once I get through this. But I knew that there was a release, not only a physical release, but emotional release that I needed to make happen. I realized that I wasn't still holding on just on a physical level. I was also holding on a cellular, on a molecular, energetic level also. I was, you know, I was really holding on to, you know, some unnecessary extra weight, not a lot, a little bit in my stomach area and my thighs, probably about 8 to 10 pounds. And that's, of course, you know, anyone that knows about chakras, that's the relationship zone. I was also suffering with some sinusitis and some allergies, and also my social and my dating life was really being affected. When I say in a negative way, I really wasn't interested in dating or going out at all. So I've really been pulling away from potential closeness and intimacy. So this year in 2012, really pretty much in particular, being, you know, a really pivotal year for change for so many people, I decided that I was going to make a commitment to myself and that I was finally going to let go of whatever had been standing in my way, stopping me, of course, from stepping into my and living my best life. And as I say a lot of that lately, stepping into my bigness. That's a word that I really love to use a lot lately, is my bigness. Feeling like something was really holding me back from that bigness. So I decided to look deeper in question, and I specifically was looking for answers, you know, even though life is good, why certain times with certain people were there always kind of like intermittent things that were happening with me when I was like kind of shutting down, shutting on, shutting off, and I could really, you know, not like that feeling kind of Alice in Wonderland, falling down kind of feeling, which is what I used to refer to it as. So my moods were shifting, and I really wasn't very happy. So I'd mentioned this before in my previous shows. I'd said that I'd been doing a lot of release work and that I had been journaling with my left hand and, of course, being my dominant hand, and my right hand, and then my left hand being my non-dominant, which was holding a lot of my unconscious thoughts and, you know, and stuff. I had learned recently about energy release work, and I started to understand that our bodies hold memories of our past, and we store them on a cellular level. When I first heard about that, that really blew me away. And that was just this year. I went, really, how could that be possible? Anyway, so I started to read more, of course, and that's, you know, all about who I am. Being a social worker, trained university social worker, and having this background, I decided that I wanted to learn a lot more about this new wave of the link to physical ailments and disease, the body, mind, and spirit whole phenomenon. So I started to do that. And I was really committed to clearing away toxins, of course, on a lot of levels. So after starting to journal, within a few weeks, I was feeling great. And I, you know, was doing my radio show, and I was on a real big high, as of course I mentioned before, and I started to get sick. Once again, I had the flu. I had ear infection. This went on for more than 6 weeks, and I realized that once I started looking up in Louise Hay's journals all about the connections with mind and body and whatever, that the ear infections were all about me really not wanting to listen to or hear the truth. And I was thinking, like, this has to be going so much deeper. There's something that I'm not getting. There's something that I'm missing. And, you know, of course there was. And, yeah, of course, I get it now a few months later. I knew in my heart at the time it was, you know, family loss and sadness. But I finally hit me about 2 weeks ago at an energy healing session, which I'll talk about in a few minutes. Anyhow, just going back, all my life, you know, I've been blessed with really excellent physical health, minus a few colds and flus and whatever else. I've never really dealt with anything other than a few years ago, I had a really bad time with bacterial pneumonia, which put me out for like about 3 or 4 months, which really kind of shocked me. That also made sense 2 weeks ago after just this past energy session. And once again, it all linked back to family. Lo and behold, magically, I had thought on every single level that I had done all this work and all the layers of the onion were peeling through. And as I was dealing with a lot of stuff in my life, I was really flying, going high, and everything was perfect. Well, lo and behold, when we have that feeling, very often we need to take a second look and think for a second and go, uh-oh, you know, there is no such thing as perfection. We all know that. Anyhow, so really inspired to really shed and release more, having decided, you know, that I'm going to do Tony Robbins. I've done all these body messages and affirmations. And, you know, in the past few months, I did a colon cleanse. I shed about 8 pounds, which for me was a lot considering the fact that I am a small framed woman. Now, as I was saying, you know, in the past few months, in April, May, I was feeling really great and so empowered, and I had already had my bouts of sickness and everything, and I had read all about release work, and I went, okay, I know I'm releasing. What is this everybody keeps talking about having to do all this release work? Like, why do I have to do all this release work? There's so many people out there that are successful, and they're doing great, and it looks, at least to me, who am I, on the outside, that their careers are flying and that their family lives, you know, everything seems to be great. They're so perky and they're so happy. And then I took a few steps back and I started to think to myself, and my logic kind of came through, and, you know, my own intuition, which I am an intuitive. I'm also an empath. I'm a 2911 on the life path number scale numerology. So I know the way I process things. I've learned to love and accept myself with all my craziness and all the love in my heart. I know that I'm always purpose driven and purpose filled. And my mission and my passion on this earth is to be able to really wake other people up and help them to be able to realize that there's, you know, there's always more. That when we go high and low and high and low and high and low, like as our weight kind of goes up and down and up and down, or we're in a relationship, the relationship is great, and then the relationship starts to fall, you know, that there are always going to be reasons. These things don't happen by sheer accident. And when they do happen, we know that they're happening because deep down inside, there's something all about us. Then when we go into that mirror and we're looking in that mirror, that, you know, at the end of the day, we need to be seeing ourselves. That it's not, oh my God, that, you know, that other person, that guy was disgusting and didn't treat me properly. Well, you know, we need to take responsibility. We've all heard this a million times, right? So I'm not going to go into that now. I really want to share my family's story because it's something that I need to let go of. So I'm putting myself out there today and wanting to share it with all of you. Well, not really. I was really crabby and cranky most of the day today, and technically everything was going wrong in my office, of course, with all the wiring on my computer and my office phone. I'm often sitting on my cell phone since my landline is not connected, so there's a lot of disconnection. Rightfully so, there's still some stuff that needs to be cleared. Anyhow, so moving forward, I decided to do the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within, and this is where I'm bringing all the links together, is that I was so euphoric and it was so confidence boosting, and I said, you know, I've really done all this release work, I'm going to walk on fire, everything's going to be amazing. And though I'm really scared shitless, I knew deep down inside that, you know, I'm a fraidy cat, but when it comes to the 99th minute, I'm usually the fire behind or in front of everyone, actually, should I say, in front of everyone, you know, getting everyone to to push forward. So I was like, okay, I can totally do this. Took my kids along as my buffer. Everything worked well. I came home and I went, wow, this is my biggest challenge. Everything's so great. I am done. I thought I was totally done and that everything was great. Oh, we should all know. Of course. I thought I could do anything, but no, of course, there was more. So a few weeks ago, you know, still being very high from the Walk on Fire and having been doing release work for the past 6 months, and there, you know, is a purpose behind all this, of course, with the program that I'm looking to put together, and that Tony Robbins inspired me, and I love what Tony says about leaders and being a leader and pushing and driving other people forward. You know, we need to be purpose-driven. We see that there's a purpose that's larger and bigger than ourselves, and we understand at the exact same time that we're there to inspire people, that we're flexible, that when we tell the truth, when we tell our own story, and we tell the truth about our own story, that it holds so much power, that it's really not meant to hurt or to harm anyone else, but it's meant to drive a purpose outcome-driven. So if I can do it myself, then, you know, other people can do this too. And that's pretty well, you know, what this is all about. It's, I've gone deeper. I've decided that I need to move beyond myself. I need to live my truth. I need to walk my walk, walk my talk. I'm tired of the falseness. I'm tired of a lot of other stuff, which I won't mention today. So I knew that this was my mission to be able to shed and to be able to share. Now, I decided about 2 weeks ago to go for an energy session. Of course, we all know nothing happens by accident. Everything happens with reason. I turn pretty much, I guess, you know, I'm a religious person in the sense that I believe there is a higher power. So whoever you want to call or whatever you want to call that higher power, whoever you want to call them, whatever, source led me to an energy session. And when I went into this energy session, I could not believe what happened. Of course, my second chakra, which is your sacral chakra, which is all your relationship, you know, down in like, you know, your lower abdomen part, it was really ironically on fire. And of course, at the exact same time, my throat was burning so badly that I almost lifted myself up from the table and I needed water so badly. I thought like my throat was just, there's no other analogy I could give, but other than my throat was on fire. What happened? I was so shocked. My body was so physically holding such negative energy in those two chakras, in the throat and the sacral, that I was told by the energy healer, you've got something really deep here. You've got something, and she was shocked. She was like, I don't know what this is, but you need to deal with this, and you need to, like, take care of this. Go deal with this now. There were crystals that are, like, you know, placed all in different parts of my body, and they just jumped off the table. They jumped up into the air, and they were smashing onto the floor. And I know there were two that came off, like, my heart chakra and the rest off, like, my sacral. My eyes were closed. My eyes were covered. I knew exactly what was going on. It was really a sixth sense kind of a feeling, and that was really my message and my sign that there's more. So I knew, you know, that what this was all about. And I knew it was about family. And I kept telling myself for so many years now, nobody's had, this is my story I'm telling myself. Once again, nobody has a perfect family. No one has a perfect family of their dreams. And I believed that I'd talked enough about my family, and I'd accept it, and I'd put it to bed, as the saying goes. And, you know, that's the end of the day, right? Family's family, and no one's family's perfect. But, you know, it was nagging at me, and I drove home that evening. The next, I didn't really sleep that well, and I don't normally, but I drove up, and I woke up the next morning, excuse me, and I decided to get really still, and I decided, okay, I'm just going to do this as a commitment again, because I really want to lead and work in energetics, that I really need to get still, and I need to ask, whatever really still needs to be released of my family, please show it to me and let it be released. Well, for the next two nights, I experienced most intense and upsetting dreams, which I choose not to share. All my family stuff that I had thought I had accepted was still there living inside my body, haunting me even more and literally stopping me from moving forward and living in my best life. I was so disconnected that I had no idea that I was still holding all this energy, and that really, I guess, even though I wouldn't say I was pretending, I was walking around believing that I cleared everything up. Now, that's interesting, too. What I learned was that the only way that I was going to be set free was to really tell my story, not to share it, but tell it so that it wasn't allowed, you know, so I really needed to let the release go to fruition. So as I've mentioned on my previous shows, I'm going to, you know, talk about my story now. I grew up in an Eastern European family where secrets were really the norm to the outside world. Okay, our lives were pretty perfect. We were all happy, loved each other, and life was so blissful, of course, to the outside world. The real truth is and was, my mother was shamed. She was a young divorcee in the 1940s who married an eligible young bachelor who she ended up divorcing and then met my dad, fast forward. He was an eligible bachelor in the 50s. He both legally adopted and accepted responsibility for my mother's two young sons, who were my two older brothers, one 11 and one 14 years older than myself. My mother finally received rescue, both financial and provisional, and wouldn't under any circumstances allow anything to jeopardize that perfect situation of rescue. So my mother and father married. A year later, my mother's world came crashing down along with her white picket fence dreams because she had lost a baby girl with a cord wrapped around the baby's neck in her 8th month. Now, not shortly after that, of course, and again along with fertility, drugs, and whatever, and that I'm a DES baby, I was born in 1957. My father, of course, a bachelor, was so ecstatic, and he was on a cloud. He was finally a father. Now, the world literally stopped. Linda was born. I don't usually like to say this, but I need to, because I never really owned it. I always couldn't stand the whole image of it, but it really is who I was, how I come together, and how I really need to kind of put this all to rest somehow. And I'm still appealing to all my listeners. I'm still trying. I guess there really is no way once my story's done and told. I just need to tell it, and then I just need to just move on and tell myself a whole new story. Anyway, at birth, I was like a little China doll. I've been told by so many relatives, my father's side, of course, not just from my mother's, I was this little princess. I was adorable. I was dark, the cutest little face I was always doted on. I was dressed to the nines. I was so desperately wanted and so loved, and it was just like you could just smear it all over like butter. It, you know, when my daughters hear the story, they go, yuck. But to this day, I really often wonder how much my two brothers must have not only been jealous of me, but threatened by me and probably hated me. One was 11 and the other one was 14 years older than me, who had had a father who had walked out of their lives that they had absolutely no contact with. And once again, that was to my mother's choice, of course. So the world stopped and gawked as I breathed. I was adorable. I was also very dramatic, and I loved to create a lot of attention around me. I was musical. I was artistic. I really think, in my true essence, as a little girl, I really thought I came into this world to set the world on fire. But obviously, the lessons were a lot about learning to love myself and be loved. So fast forward, all I ever really wanted was just love. And at least that's what I can remember, being a little girl. I had two older brothers. I was so lucky. You know, I was their little baby sister. Everybody called me the baby, the baby, the baby. My brothers were much older, okay? As I said, their biological father walked off. My mother didn't want gossip or a scandal, so she managed to have her ex-husband agree to just walk away and walk out of the boys' lives. Now, my father stepped right in and adopted legally those two boys, but within a year or two had his own child, being me. So growing up, I was the only biological child. Now, they were always my brothers. I was never told any different, but of course, you know, we all knew that they had another dad. Now, my father took care of them in every which way, financial, provisional, emotional is a whole other story, but we won't go there right now. My father did, you know, to the best of his ability, whatever he was taught to do when he was, you know, a young boy. And, of course, you know, that's how things always work out. So I was beautifully dressed as a little girl. I looked like a real galactic princess moving forward. I truly believe my brothers loved me, and all I ever wanted, once again, were brothers. And, of course, more even so, a sister. So how excited I was when my brothers married. And I had two new sisters, two sister-in-laws. Now, I know this sounds really all so silly to all of you who are listening. You might be thinking, how could a little girl who's like a little princess with a princess-like aura have any struggles or difficulties? Well, think about Cinderella. But anyway, really good question that you should ask. I knew I was filled with so much love and drama and creativity, as I said. All I ever really wanted was love. Yet in my family structure, in order for me to get the love that I wanted or thought I wanted, I really needed to conform to everybody else's family view and structure, and I needed to just do whatever it took for me to get the love and please everyone. So I was always busy pleasing everyone else. The minute I would start to cry or laugh, whatever, once again, I was labeled the drama queen. I was told this, 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 and that, and it all shut me down and shut me off completely. My brothers would always call me the drama queen. It went on and on and on. They would actually ignore me to the point that they would only really give me attention when my mother was around and told them that they had to. So we never really developed a relationship where anything that I felt or said had any value to them at all, even as I grew older and became a teenager. I took on the name of the baby sister, the little baby sister. That's who I was always introduced as, the baby sister. And there was never anything more to say about me except I was a baby sister. You know, my mother thought it was so cute, so adorable, and my father really didn't care, and I realized that my brothers didn't either. So the reality is there. Anyhow, moving forward, there were times when I would cry, as I said, and again, I just, you know, I just wanted love. I was always all about the love, always feeling so alone that my brothers had their girlfriends, or let's say their, you know, password, their wives, and my claim to fame was that I was a little princess, but as I grew older as a teenager, I started feeling like a loner. It was only when my mother was present that I felt that there was some sense of love, as she was always pushing me and my brothers and their wives, who, interestingly enough, also both never really liked me or accepted me or took me seriously, interestingly enough. So this became my normal. I was an only child, but I had really great brothers when my mother was around, and we talked about a family story. Growing up, my dad was building a business and worked so hard. He would come home late at night and fall asleep. I knew he loved me, but once again, we really also never developed a communicative, open, trusting relationship. So once again, I was my mother's little China doll. I married. I had children of my own. I felt love for my parents, but I never really felt heard, ever. I was always still the little baby girl. Fast forward, I become a mother, and then looking back, there's no surprise to me that I eventually divorced. I really had no model to follow and truly no idea of how to make a whole family system work. My mother was so involved in my life on every level. I never realized how dependent I became on her for everything, even though I knew I was purely self-reliant and capable. So the gap between me and my brothers even widened. We would speak from time to time, but the talk was really always pretty much small talk. I was craving love and closeness, recognition, and understanding. And looking back now, I believe that I lived my whole life really trying to please others, never really asking for what I really wanted. I ended up feeling really guilty and shame for wanting something else or something better, of course. But no one was ever going to listen to me anyways. No one did listen to me. I was the baby. My world crashed in 2003 when my mother was diagnosed with ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Why on earth, if I had two older brothers, was I the one that was called in by the doctors to tell me that my mom had 6 or 9 months left to live? And why was I not allowed to tell her more secrets? I got hit by a lightning bolt. I literally stepped into a role and took over with compassionate care. My mother passed away 8 weeks later, and the world crumbled. We all sat by her bedside. But, of course, none of us had relationships, but we were all about my mother, as it became all about my mother's things all around her house, her valuables, whatever, with my sister-in-laws. I watched, you know, my mother watched over me my whole life. She was asking my sister-in-laws to love me. I'll never forget that when my mother sat and said to my sister-in-law, promise that you'll look over at Linda and the girls once I'm gone. And my sister-in-law said, of course, Mom, why would you even ask? In my heart, I knew that that would never happen. For 2 years after my mother's death, I suffered with something I later found out was broken heart syndrome. I was in such pain. My mother gone for the next few years. My dad and my brothers and I drifted even more, but eventually that stopped happening too. I would call and appeal to them that my mother's honor, we should make efforts to remain close, yet we were always just only a family in name. Feeling so alone and just having ended a relationship by now, I decided to sell my house and move out west. Fast forward a few more years, and the reality of my family story and the lack of the relationship with my two brothers, I was realizing that there was more to this than that. There was one afternoon where I had a talk with my brother about just, you know, wanting to get close, and I got an angry look and a stare that said, we're not your brothers, we're your half-brother, and you're our half-sister. So I realized already that, you know, once my mother wasn't around, she was the glue that was pulling us all together. Now, what's really happened since then, unfortunately, because I need to fast forward my story now, was that my lack of relationship with my brothers wanting love so badly has really turned into an asset dispute, of course, over my father's will. And believe it or not, my father is still very alive. I haven't spoken to either my brothers or their wives in over 2 years since the night before I left Montreal, when none of them said goodbye, wished me well, or did anything. They had done something really sneaky that night, which I will not discuss, but my heart really broke, and I realized that all they really were caring about was what's left materialistically and not the love for me as a sister. So I've always had this issue of really feeling very much alone. The dream of having the family that I really want, the closeness I now am building in love and have my two daughters, and I thank God every minute of every day for that. But it's so interesting, because what I had dreamed of a family, coming into a family as a little girl and wanting all that love, I grew up really very much alone. What have I learned? I've learned that I can't force people to love me, even my own two brothers. I've learned that I need to release and make peace with my past and not bury my head in the sand. I've learned that I need to talk about it. I've learned that I need to let go of my negative feelings, my anger and my hate, and send my brothers love and my sister-in-law's love and wish them well and their children as well, and just make peace with that and move on in my life. I can't go back and change it. I've learned that making peace and forgiveness are essential to my future happiness. I've learned not to hold anger, resentment, especially to my deceased mother, who did the best that she could, and my dad, who is still alive and not strong enough to speak up for me and stand up as a patriarch in the family. So my brothers are asserting themselves, and I need to accept that as well. I've learned that there really is no blame in this situation, and that God, the higher source of power, will guide the situation to its fruition either one way or another, and that I need to trust. At best, it is me who really needs to heal and change my beliefs, these quantum beliefs, that I do not deserve to be loved, that I'm not worthy of love, or that I'm unloved, and most important, that I'm enough, more than enough, just the way that I am. Now, this is where I really need to be the most authentic, raw, and real. I have struggled with this my whole life. I often didn't allow people to get too close or even close enough to me to love me in the fear that I would lose them, and that's why I kept so distant. Now, fast forward to Tony Robbins. You know, going to the Tony Robbins really brought this life lesson for me to the surface. I realized that I'm fixed, that although I can't go back and change my family situation, that I need to make it okay. No one has a perfect family. No, what I really have learned was how very wrong I was. I allowed myself to believe that I had fixed all this, but I hadn't. Did I really choose this family? Why would I choose this family if I'm such a loving soul? If I could do anything 6 months ago, would I or wouldn't I have chosen to have this conversation with a friend or share this with anyone, especially on the topic of my radio show? And then I thought about this mirror about looking forward and about wanting love so badly. Maybe I had to look deeper. Maybe it was that I needed to learn to love myself. Maybe. If you listen to this quote, we are not creatures of circumstance, we are the creators of our circumstance. Well, that's what UPI did for me. It made me realize that, yes, if we all choose our families, and I chose this family, that maybe I really needed to look a lot deeper, that maybe I needed to not point the finger at my two brothers, that maybe I needed to say to myself, maybe there's something that I'm still looking and searching for. Maybe it's me that has to open up. Maybe it's me that has to learn that there are no more secrets. That I need to be courageous, that I need to be open, that I need to share, that I need to allow myself to be vulnerable, and I need to allow myself to be loved. And I'm safe when I don't do all of that. I want to thank you all for really listening in on my story today. It's not that my story is so drastic, and then when you think of stories and other people's stories, it's the sadness and whatever we have in our lives that we look at, that sometimes we think is really holding us back, that we're less than perfect. Well, the lessons that we've come into this lifetime to learn, we need to learn. We also need to release them and to embrace them and to understand that they're part of who we are in parcel. They need to inspire us. They need to allow us to shift into a quantum way. We're all going to need each other more and more in the years and the months and the days and years to come in order to heal. Our world really is drastically changing. Being real, being raw, authentic, and even naked is going to be the only way for us to really set ourselves free and to have true freedom. I want you all to really think about, you know, my little story. There have been a lot of dark things in my story, which, you know, I didn't share. There's been illness and, you know, and death, and there's been some conspiracy. But what I really wanted to share today, not to go too deep in respect for my daughters and my family that's, you know, are still around me, was that we all really need to just be real. I want to send you all my love and happiness and joy. I will see you once again next week. Today was really a shedding process. I want you all to think about shedding and sharing, too. So all my love to all of you, and see you next week.